Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Third and goal from the one. Play clock down to two. Here's the snap. Fires, looking for Kelce, and he's labeled as the ball goes flying behind him. Oh, Cole Bishop buried the crown of his helmet into his sternum. Four-man rush. Pocket collapsing. They've got him wrapped up for the sack. Joey Bosa, the Italian stallion, flexing the biceps and dropping Mahomes. Mahomes in the shotgun. Here's the snap. Four-man rush. Back to pass. Has time. Pocket collapsing, and they've got him wrapped up for the sack. Michael Hoyt, Greg Rousseau, Joey Bosa. It was a party in the Chiefs' backfield. Play clock down to one. Here's the snap. Pressure coming. Mahomes heaves it down the field, looking for Worthy. It's picked off by Maxwell Hairston at the Buffalo 32-yard line.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, away we go. 28-21, the Bills beat the Kansas City Chiefs on a really fantastic afternoon, late afternoon in Orchard Park, Highmark Stadium. Sal Capaccio with you here on a Buffalo Football Monday, a Buffalo Football Victory Monday here on WGR Sports Radio 550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sporting the Victory Monday t-shirt, celebrating Victory Monday with you, and taking your phone calls at 803-0550. Want to waste no time to give that number out and let you know we have some callers on the line right now, but we are locking and loading if you want to get on the air today, because I know you have a lot to say about this one. Mostly good, some not so much. What happened in the game, where the Bills are right now, and of course, leading up to the trade deadline Tuesday at 4 p.m. So much to get to today. Let's do that here on a Buffalo Football Monday. And of course, as always, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Also by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. You can visit my Arrow Up, Arrow Down column at WGR550.com. What I liked, what I didn't like about this game. But mostly, what I really liked. This was a complete game by the Buffalo Bills. They were not perfect. It got a little too close for comfort. Probably should not have even been as close as it was, to be quite honest. But man, that is the Kansas City Chiefs on the other side. That is the team that so many people said was playing the best football of any team in the NFL, playing their best football. This is the three-time defending AFC champions, twice Super Bowl champs, playing their best football that they've played in years. Juggernaut offense that can't be stopped. And the Buffalo Bills not only stopped them, but I'm going to say absolutely controlled the game. They didn't dominate like the game on the scoreboard. They were up a couple scores, yes, at times. But they controlled the game the entire way. There was never a point in this game where I felt the Bills weren't in control of it. And how did that happen? Because of the way that Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills want to play football. I take calls every week, all the time, from people talking about this head coach, his style, wants to play a certain way, and you don't like it. I get it. You're right, no doubt. The way they played football yesterday is exactly how Sean McDermott wants to play it. And it worked out. It doesn't work out all the time. It worked out yesterday against a really good team. And what I mean by the way he wants to play it, I don't want to make it about him. I want to make it about how they did it. A very, very balanced offense. Two-dimensional offense. The Bills, put up over 400 yards of offense on a Steve Spagnuolo-led Kansas City Chiefs defense. That is the most yards the Chiefs have given up all season in any game. I don't know if you are aware of that. I'll actually take a look right now and tell you what their previous high here was. Let me just pull this up. So Kansas City, going into this game yesterday, the most yards they had given up in a game. I'm sorry, it was the second most yards they had given up. Right? I got to click offense and defense. I'm sorry, folks. Just want to toggle it here. Yep, it was the most yards they've given up all year. That's what I thought. The most yards before that was 394 in week one against the Chargers. And then since then, I mean, teams just didn't get a sniff on them to approach 400 yards. And the Bills put up 404, the most all year. Okay, but how did you do 404? 260 of that through the air. 260 plus from Josh Allen. 140 on the ground. That is a balanced two-dimensional attack. When you can do that, this is what McDermott talks about, and it's true. It's hard to do. But if you can keep a team off balance and run and throw like that, that is exactly the formula for winning a game for 60 minutes. And what I said, controlling a game. That's what they did. Okay, that's offensively. This was also, I think, the most balanced, do we want to use the word complimentary? Complimentary football game this team has played. Whatever word you want to use. You hate complimentary football, that's cool. The way the defense also controlled this game. Getting after Patrick Mahomes. 3 sacks, 15. Let me state that again. 1-5, 15 quarterback hurries. Hits, hitting him. Not allowing him to scramble. They controlled Patrick Mahomes all day. I just told you the Chiefs allowed the most yards in a game all season that the Bills put on them yesterday with 404. On the other side of the ball, the Chiefs offense had their second lowest output of the season. The only other time they were as low as what they were yesterday at 305 yards was 294 in week two against the Eagles. That's it. I am listening and driving in, and I love it. I mean, like, this is what we do. It's a reaction show, but man, the tenor and the sound of you, the callers, social media, @SalSports, by the way, on X. bullpen, high bullpen, I'll get to you in a second. Everybody, it's just so different when this team wins versus loses, right? And man, the stuff leading up all week to this game, and now you get here on a Monday and it's you win the game, and I'm looking up. In the studio right now, I got it up on my screen. It says, are the 6-2 Bills the best team in the AFC? It's literally frozen on the screen for some reason, and I don't even know why, and it says it right there. That's how they're talking about the Bills around the country now after, what's wrong with the Bills? Now it's, are they the best team in the AFC? This is what happens during football. Folks, it's a great reminder. It's a long season. It's a long season for a team. It's a long season for players. We'll get to that. Cole Bishop, a great, great reminder. Development is not linear. Every game is new. Every game has its own DNA. Every season does. There's peaks and valleys. We know this. What does it mean in the big picture yesterday, what they did? It keeps them on pace, in line, for what their goal is at the end of the regular season. A, win the division. B, get the one seed. You still have the New England Patriots ahead by half game. It gives them a head-to-head against the Chiefs if the Chiefs were to win their division or play and match up in a wild card game. If they both won the division, or both were wild cards, is the way I'll say it. It hurts the Chiefs more in their seeding and standing. Of course, it's not the end-all, be-all. We know that's that boogeyman there in the playoffs. Totally get it. But the game still mattered. I don't care if it's, I was so tired of hearing about, well, you know, regular season, huh? Then they can't beat them in the playoffs, so who cares? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter? Do you think the Chiefs think it didn't matter yesterday? Does anybody think the Kansas City Chiefs didn't want to win the game yesterday? Yeah, it mattered. Mattered to the Bills, mattered to the Chiefs. Doesn't mean it means anything for what happens in the playoffs, other than where teams are right now and how they could fall. Okay, we are streaming right now live on YouTube, on Twitch, WGR 550 on YouTube. Hello, Bullpen. Good to see you. That's what we call the chat box on the live stream on the Bullpen, on YouTube. We call it the Bullpen. So thank you for coming in. Hi, everybody. How are you today? We got Dan and Nick and AC and Go Bills. I mean, everybody's got to go Bills, right? I think a lot of people. Matthew, Hot Dirt, of course. Thank you so much. Walter's in here. Appreciate all of you coming by. What's up? You guys keep the chat going. I'll do the phone calls today. We'll have a good time today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, let's start it off. We got a full bank of phone lines. And Thomas has been waiting patiently down in Florida. What's going on, Thomas?
Well, Thomas from Florida, first live Chiefs Bills game I've missed in 5 years, and it worked out well. So maybe I'm not the good luck charm I thought I was. But I want to talk about the emotional leader impact of Michael Hoyt.
Yeah.
It appeared to me the second he entered the starting lineup, he elevated the play of every player around him. He was a rabble-rouser, pumping up guys. Everyone seemed to play better while he was on the field.
Yeah.
The fact that Ed Oliver is also that type of guy, I'd like to know what player or free agent acquisition could step into that role. I have a player in mind who would come cheap, Denario Davis, 36-year-old middle linebacker for the Saints, who's always been their emotional leader, playing for a terrible team, still ranked in the top 10 PFF grades at linebacker, would come cheap, would provide that emotional lift at a cheap, affordable price. I want to know from you, who else do you think could step into that role?
I mean, I don't know where Demario Davis would play, you know, right now at his position, because Shaq Thompson's a guy right now that also, by the way, I think Shaq helps out there. I don't disagree. I think you're 100% right, by the way, Thomas. I mean, the minute Michael Hoyt stepped onto the field in the lineup, it changed this defense. It changed the attitude. Sean McDermott said the attitude has changed. I mean, you're talking about two different things, though. You're talking about on the field, and you're talking about the emotional part of playing the game on the field and off the field. And I don't think you can replicate that from anybody, but you hope that what he brought rubs off, and you hope that he's still around the team and able to do that, but not necessarily on the field. It's going to happen. Sure, you want to bring a guy like Demario Davis to do that? I don't know where he's playing, though. Is he going to play over Terrell Bernard and Shaq Thompson when he's playing middle linebacker? I'm not sure. But sure, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. The answer to on the field is going to be probably right now, Javon Solomon, and he's not Michael Hoyt. What I mean by that is where they put him, passing downs. He was the guy before Michael Hoyt in that role. Now he's going to be as well. It's a massive, massive loss for the Bills. Michael Hoyt is a massive, massive loss for the Bills. He allowed the Bills defense to be transformative. And what I mean by that is like a transformer. You know, the old the show and the cartoon and all that? He's a shapeshifter. He allowed the Bills to do so many different things they couldn't do. And now with him and Ed Oliver out, what I think they need more than anything is a little interior pass rush. That was really all we got as far as injuries from the Bills, but it was a big one. That's the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Let's go to Ken in Syracuse. Hi, Ken. You're on WGR.
Good morning, Sal. Happy Victory Monday to you. Sorry if someone has brought this up before, and our head coach has taken a lot of flack over when he uses timeouts.
Yeah, he does.
But he used that timeout against the Chiefs before the Chiefs' field goal because a Bill was lined up offside.
That is correct. I pointed that out last night. Well, nobody has on this show, but you're the first person. I just started the show. But that is correct, yes, and I get it. And I saw it last night, and people were complaining about timeouts, and I know that this coach has a tendency to use timeouts on defense for different situations. If they had not called timeout, the Chiefs had a free first down. I think it was Jordan Hancock. He was lined up offsides on a 4th and 5.
That is exactly who it was.
So my question to anybody who's upset is, would you literally rather have them have the free first down? Of course not. Now, we can be mad about the process, and you should. That's inexcusable. You can't line up offsides, right? That's coaching, that's playing, that's everything. These guys know not to line up offsides. And we can be mad about that all you want. Holy cow, I want my coach, if he sees that, any coach, I want my coach calling timeout in that situation. I'm not giving the Chiefs a free first down.
Right. From my seat in the stadium, you know, I'm right along that yard line. It was clear to me that Hancock was offsides.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so McDermott called a timeout, and when the team walked over, he immediately walked over to Hancock and told
yep,
him,
that's right.
You were offside.
That's right. I saw the same thing. Ken, I still was debating somebody this morning. You told me, I don't care. It's still a wasted timeout. No, it's not. It's only wasted in the fact that Jordan Hancock caused you to waste it.
Yep.
Right? It's not wasted from a strategic standpoint because you can't give them a free first down. Thanks, Ken. I appreciate that. Now, that being said, there was another timeout he used after a big play down the sidelines because the defensive line was gassed and he wanted to get new guys in there and the Chiefs were moving the ball. And you can complain about that. That's fine. But there are reasons for these things. Let's go to Michael in Atlanta. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Sal. Great victory. By the way, I'm hoping you can leave me out so I can hear. I know sometimes you have to cut the call to give somebody a response, but if you can leave me out and at least hear your response, it'd be great. But I do have a few things I want to address, and then it ended up with something that really bothered me. Okay, so this is, to me, is a very big victory for many reasons, and I'm sure you know the stat. It's the only game Patrick Mahomes has completed less than 50% of his passes.
Yes.
Huge victory for the defense, right?
Yep.
Allowing a 100-yard rusher, a 100-yard receiver. These things don't happen against Mitch. I don't know when the last time was. Sometime early last year that they allowed a 100-yard rusher.
Week one of last year, 100-yard rusher, but that was Lamar Jackson. It will have to go back to 2023 for a 100-yard running back.
There you go. Okay, so to me, this, yes, I feel like a lot of fans. I've been a fan since the first time I think it was 68 or 69 when I was listening on the radio and O.J. Simpson was a rookie and he was returning kickoffs and punts, I think, back then. That's when I became a fan when I was a little kid. And I've stuck with him all the way. But to me, this victory is a bit different than the other victories against the Chiefs. And I know a lot of people, like you said, feel that, oh, yeah, well, they beat them, but they can't beat them in the playoffs. I'm sorry, the playoffs are for winners, okay? You have to admire whatever it is, if it's a fighter, if it's a team that keeps getting back up and keeps fighting, okay? If they don't get in the playoffs, if they don't win these games, is that better? Does that mean that the Kelly era was all for nothing because they lost four Super Bowls and nobody was any good on that team? That's ridiculous, and I'm sick of hearing this. So, and especially with all the adversity that it had this year and all the questions about the offense and the inconsistency on defense, and a lot of those questions are valid. But when you cure those problems or at least start to head in the right direction against a good team last week and a great team. As you said, many are saying this is maybe the best team in football right now. Tony Romo could not stop raving about the Chiefs and about Mahomes before the game started. You know, and they really did a great job. The Bills, you know, like you said, didn't dominate, but they controlled the game, okay? So here's the thing that bothered me is to have these feelings as a fan, to have this great excitement. And then last night after the game, and I know the unwritten 11th commandment with your station and any station, you don't want to talk against the people that are saying whatever they're saying that might be bad. But at the end of that game, the announcers around the game for the post game and for taking phone calls,
Hold on, Michael. If this is a point about other hosts on the station, that's not really for me right now. This is not what I do here. So.
I understand, but we want to be excited as fans.
Okay, that's cool. And you have a chance right now. You're on with me. So if you want to do that, go ahead and do that.
I know.
Okay.
Right. But I'm saying is that that enthusiasm.
Okay.
Fans like me that are that passionate.
Great.
We feed off of that. We don't want to be.
Okay.
You know, have mud thrown in our face after a victory.
Okay, well, that's okay. You can pick it up with the people who did that, okay? It's not me, so I appreciate it, Michael. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Thank you. I got to go. All right, Mark in Canada. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, how you doing, my friend?
Good, thank you.
I'm in Canada, so if you can give me a minute. My wife doesn't want to hear me talk about football. I just wondering, it kind of frustrates me a little bit as a fan when you hear these guys on national media, you know, the talk about the first takes and all those guys, what's his face there, on First Things First. And they're talking about Mahomes always beats Allen. You know, even all over the day, we can't appreciate this win because it doesn't mean anything in the playoffs. And I'm just like, well, obviously, the team that beats the Chiefs in the playoff in the regular season is never the team that he has to face in the postseason. But nobody talks about that. They act like it's just the one team is the same team. We lost Von Miller. There was a direct reason why we beat the Chiefs that year. He wasn't available in the playoffs. We had some guy who was retired on a camping trip with his family come out and try and guard Travis Kelce. Then we sit here now and we destroyed the Chiefs. But that's not going to happen later in this year because Michael Hoyt's gone. I don't know if Ed Oliver's coming back. So, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is going to line up against practice squad players, and then we're going to act like he's the best quarterback who ever lived. Well, if he's the best quarterback who ever lived, maybe he should have a harder time. Meanwhile, Josh Allen is putting up the same stats going against Pro Bowlers and future Hall of Famers. And so it's just, I guess, if you had the answer to the Michael Jordan-LeBron debate, then maybe as a talk show host and radio host, maybe that's their profession, and maybe you guys aren't allowed to give the answer because it would kill the narrative, and then you have to talk about something else. But it's like the answer is so simple. And it's so frustrating to see Josh Allen's a loser because, guys, he doesn't come with the same team that the other guys come with. And, that's just not being talked about. Like, it's very simple, why these things matter. And we got to do something at the deadline because that's going to matter. We got to, I don't know, Jeffrey Simmons, is he available? Because that's something we could do. Like, can Michael Hoyt, you know, retire because he's – you know, upset and then unretire, we get cap space.
No, they don't get cap space from Michael Hoyt, no matter if he retires, he's on IR, nothing like that. I have to be super honest with you. I'm kind of confused about the phone call. I think he's just saying, hey, I don't really know. I don't really know. Thank you. I appreciate that. I know. And I know you're in Canada. You said your wife doesn't let you talk about football or something. So this is an outlet for you, and that's great. I was kind of confused there on what the point was. But they're not playing. He's not going to play practice squad players unless the Bills have a whole bunch of rash of more of injuries. And the Chiefs will have injuries too. And injuries can't be an excuse. Every team has them. And I agree that the Bills have lost some key players in those games. And that's been a big deal. And that's why the one seed's important, to not get injured before you play the Chiefs later in the playoffs, which they have in a couple of different instances. Billy up in Toronto. What's going on, Billy?
Hey, I'll tell you what. I got a... If that was my wife, that'd be my ex-wife if I can't talk football. Simple as that, fellow Canadian. Listen, Sal, what a great game. How many times have I called you and said to you how to beat Mahomes, and they did it, and it's not on me, but I mean, they did it exactly the way we said it. You know, we've seen what Tampa Bay did in the Super Bowl. We've seen what Philly did. I want to ask, how many yards did Patrick Mahomes run for?
Five.
How many yards? 10, 15,
five.
Maybe?
I just said five.
Yeah. you know, this is how you beat these running quarterbacks. And he's not, he's a lot better than a running quarterback. But my God, I mean, I said you make Patrick Mahomes pass the ball when he can't run. He's not as good as everybody thinks. And that's exactly what the Bills did. I loved everything. I didn't think we could run the ball as well as we did. We ran it down their throats. When Mahomes did get to the sidelines that one time, we didn't think that he was going out. We drilled him. Yeah. I thought we might have got a 15-yard penalty. Drilled him into next week. I just love the way the Bills played this game.
Yeah, that was A.J. Epenesa. I think every single football fan looked for a flag after that play because that's just what happens, right? Man, did he crush him. Check out my my post on that. I quote tweeted Dan Fates in Rochester with a great video of that. What a hit. Holy cow. And he was feeling it. Patrick Mahomes was feeling it for sure. Good start to the program. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back with more of your phone calls on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday.
Right away, you could tell, again, talk about attitude and mindset. I mean, the way we were running the football in that first series, James Cook, the O-line, you could just see we were our pads were in this direction. You know, it was a forward lean on our offensive line and a forward lean on our offense, Josh included. And when he's rolling like that, I know he's vibing, and we go. It gives me a chance to – gives us more of a chance to be aggressive on fourth downs. I mean, he's an elite competitor.
Sean McDermott right there. All of our postgame sound available at WGR550.com and in the Odyssey app. By the way, real quick, forgot to tell you, obviously, courtesy Chris Brown and the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. You heard a little bit of his calls leading into the program, so wanted to make sure you knew. That was from Chris and the Buffalo Bills Radio Network a little bit earlier. We got a couple of Anthony's on the line. Let's start in Long Island with Anthony. Go ahead. You're on WGR. Anthony, you there?
Hey, Sal. Sorry, Sal. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, bud.
All right. So really, really excited about the win yesterday. Team looked great. Demoralized about the Hoyt injury. He definitely made a huge difference with the defense. I loved how the defense was able to match up with the coverages in the secondary. They looked so good and in sync yesterday. And Harrison playing and just chasing Worthy looked phenomenal too. That burst of speed, just so evident that we didn't have that earlier in the season, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, I think it's made a difference. Sean McDermott having more of a hand, it appears, calling plays, although he hasn't officially said he's calling them. He says he's doing the same amount, but I think it's clear that he's having more of a role, whether he's outright doing it all or not. The coverage and the pass rush is marrying together better the way it's supposed to look. And to your point about Harrison having more athleticism on the field, no doubt about it. No doubt. And that play, him running with Worthy, that doesn't show up in the box score. That's not a pass defended. It's not an interception, obviously. It's an incomplete pass. But that is a great example of what a guy like that can bring. And suddenly, your first-round draft pick is looking like a first-round draft pick, right? Where it's like, oh my God, they're getting nothing from this draft class, and now, bam, here comes your first-round pick looking like he should, and in a big game against a team that you drafted him kind of basically to make sure you know, almost, I'm not saying specifically for Kansas City, but yeah, I mean, they matter when you're making those decisions. Alex in Pittsburgh. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Sal, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
First-time caller, long-time listener. First, I want to say you guys do a great job covering the Bills. You know, I'm not in the local market, so I rely on you guys. You guys do a great job. My point is I want to call and say how impressed I am with the defense. Even with the injuries of Oliver and Hoyt, I'm not discouraged as much just because the secondary has been picking up. Cole Bishop, I watched a lot of his college tape. I was excited when we drafted him, and he looks like he's coming into his own. And Maxwell's speed is evident. That play – when Mahomes threw deep down to, was it Worthy, and he was step-by-step with him, it was just phenomenal. And, I'm excited and just want to hear what you have to say, and go Bills, and thank you again. Bye.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot for the phone call. We got a lot to get to today, and we're going to do sit-up, stand-down, hey, buddy, in the next hour, but 803-0550 is the telephone number to call here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. Pat is in Foxborough, Massachusetts, where the Patriots moved to 7-2. What's up, Pat?
Oh, Sal, it's so fun. Oh, you know how people were so loving if the Bills had lost last night, and now all my neighbors, they hate me. I love it. Hey, I think this might be McDermott's best masterclass coaching game maybe ever. I mean, he did everything right. And this is a testament to Bean. His draft worked. They played their time to bring Harry Maxwell. They took their time with him, and man, he delivered. And Cole Bishop, second year, getting better. He was a stud. Was he the best player on the field, Sal?
He might have been. Cole Bishop, did you say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Cole Bishop.
Yeah, he might. I mean, I don't know if he's the best player in the field. Josh Allen was pretty darn special last night.
Defense.
Okay? Yeah, but yeah, I think so. I mean, listen, I think everybody was. Joey Bosa had 5 quarterback hits. You know, Greg Rousseau 4. So I don't want to necessarily single out. I will say this, though, to your point. That was Cole Bishop's best game as a pro. And Cole, this is a great reminder, okay? A great reminder, Pat, that development is not linear, and we can't make these sweeping judgments on players after one game.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The guy had started 4 games last year. He had started a couple of games this year. He had injuries. He has started less than a full season in the NFL. People, Bills fans, wanted this guy off the team. They wanted him shot out of a cannon to the sun, off the field.
I didn't. He's a 2-year, second-year player.
I know. I'm saying.
He's athletic.
I know. And the point is, though, like, this is why you can't be so beholden to the moment in each game. It is, these guys develop. Like, it's professional sports. You can't just walk in and make these impacts. And the injuries held him back. We know that. He needed the reps. He's getting them now. He's not perfect. He is ascending, and he's going to be just fine.
And one other point. Thank God college basketball is starting, man. Jeez.
Yeah, but, I love it, too. I love it.
The NIL is such a mess. It's still fun, man.
Tonight, right? Opening night tonight, right? Official opening night.
I believe, right?
Yeah, tonight. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I love it, Pat. Thank you very much. Cody in Rochester's up next. What's up, Cody?
Good morning, Sal. Happy Victory Monday.
You got it.
2 questions for you. Number one. Should we expect to see McDermott involved more with the defensive play calling? Because it's clear as day that since last week against the Panthers and then this week, our defense looks totally energized. They look like they're on task. I mean, there were a couple moments last night where there was some confusion, but I think overall they all understood the assignment. And then the other question was, Andy Reid threw, at least from where I was sitting, it looked like he threw a challenge flag to challenge the intentional grounding play or call on the Chiefs. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't think coaches were allowed to challenge a penalty. Is that correct?
So some are and some aren't. That's correct. That's a judgment call. I guess from what we were told and the way that it played out in real time, that you can't challenge that because that's a judgment call. Okay, I'm still kind of unclear on a lot of the fallout of this because there are people who say, and I think this has happened before, if you throw the challenge flag in a situation you're not allowed to, you're supposed to get another penalty on top of it. Like, that's a delay of game penalty, which I believe is correct as well. It was tipped. They should have, I think that the proper call was not made on the field, but that happens a lot. And you can't challenge that particular call. Gene Steratore didn't know you couldn't challenge that call, apparently, from the TV broadcast, from what I'm being told. There's still a lot that I'm kind of trying to figure out about this morning to have a better answer, but that was a very, very long, long process and situation that should not have taken so long to iron out.
Right on. I appreciate it, Sal. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I wish I had a better answer for you, but I don't. Gene Steratore said he had never seen anything like that in his career. Andy Reid attempted to challenge the flag, only to be told he couldn't. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still kind of trying to figure it out. You know what? Here's the other thing I'll say about all that. I don't care. That team gets a lot of calls and a lot of big moments. The Bills got one yesterday. Live with it. Deal with it. Sports. Corey in Buffalo. What's up, Corey?
Hey, Sal. How are you, man?
Good.
Doing well. I just wanted to touch on a couple things. Offensively, a lot of people, nag on Joe Brady's play calling. I thought he called a phenomenal game yesterday. There was a couple of plays, the read option run with Josh, which we haven't ran at all this year.
Yep.
The Cook pass to the flats was a beautiful play design. And then, I'd like to see us throw the ball down the seam a little bit more, maybe outside the numbers, so Coleman stretch the defense a little bit more. But other than that, man, what a game from the offensive side.
Yeah, and I like the read option, by the way, they ran it right at Chris Jones, and Osiris Torrance had a nice block on that. So, you do with that what you will, because that was a really big play, obviously, and a great call. I love the Cook pass as well. It's the first time he's been targeted in the passing game, actually, in a while, and it came at the exact right time when they needed a big third down late in the game. And then the thing about Coleman is he's got to win, right? He's got to win on the outside if you want that to happen, and I still don't know if that's happening. It's still an issue. I mean, this was a tight end game for the Bills. And you know what? Anthony, North Carolina, wants to touch on that. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, Sal. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
And so first off, I want to say, I love how we utilized the tight ends yesterday. The Bills need to do that more often. I felt like the way it went when they were using them yesterday, it felt like how Brady used to use his tight ends all the time. And it's very similar to how Patrick Mahomes uses his tight ends all the time. And I feel like the Bills should do that more often. And then the second thing I wanted to add was I feel like the Bills should add another wide receiver. I think it'd be great if they would go after one, hoping they do. But anyways, I'll hang up and listen. Go Bills.
Yeah, listen, I know this isn't the answer people want to hear. They are going to get Josh Palmer back at some point here. That'll help. But even with Josh Palmer, totally understand, and I agree. They need more help. I've been on the Rashid Shaheed kind of train for a while, and I don't know if that is the answer, but to me, he gives you the elements you need. A downfield threat, guy with the ball in his hands, he's good at yards after catch, which is what the Bills like to do, and he's a really good return man, and you could kind of solve a roster issue right there, because right now, Brandon Codrington's inactive, he's taking up a roster spot, and Khalil Shakir's returning those punts. So I think Rashid Shaheed would fit there. Olave is the more complete, better receiver. He'd cost you more, though. What receiver's available? Jacoby Myers? Not sure. I really like Jacoby Myers. I've always been a Jacoby Myers fan. Not sure if he's a little redundant, though, of what you have on the roster already. We'll see what they do. Tuesday at 4 p.m. is the trade deadline. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll take more of your phone calls. And then, of course, next hour, we'll get to more of yesterday. It's sit up, stand down, hey buddy, but a lot more of your calls on the way at 803-0550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, let's continue on with your phone calls here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. Steve is in Virginia. Good to talk to you, Steve. What's up?
Hey, how you doing today, Sal?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I just want to real quick go over the secondary. I know weeks past, I was kind of down on Benford. He just kind of looks like an average corner, but looks like, you know, things are finally changing with the secondary, with the addition of Harrison, you know, and also, you know, in the secondary as well in the safeties, because they look a lot better yesterday. And a huge play at the end was when McCombs threw the deep pass, and I believe it was Hancock who knocked down the ball. I mean, we've seen so many times that play getting made on the Bills, so it's great to finally see, you know, the Bills secondary be able to knock down a play like that.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it all works in conjunction. And, I mean, Benford did get beat pretty badly on a one-on-one route yesterday, and that's going to happen. And that was the Hollywood Brown play towards the end of, at the end of the half. But, yes, the answer is what you said, Steve, which is when you have other people around you, you become better yourself because everybody fills a better role and a bigger role, and you don't have to be relied upon to do everything yourself, right? I mean, the secondary just works better with better athletes, and that's what they have right now back there. And the ascension of some of these guys and their development, which is mattering. Let's go to Joe in New York. Hi, Joe.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
Okay, look, you know, talking about play calls with Brady, I know he made some good calls, but boy, the one that drove me crazy was we had a 3rd and 10, and he calls that play to Shakir, that short pass on the side.
Yep, tunnel screen.
We never get 10 yards on that. I don't know why he expected to get 10 yards on that play.
Well, I'll go halfway with you. I agree with you. I did not like that call, but they do get 10 yards. They just had a 54-yard touchdown last week on it. You know what I mean? So they do get yards, and they do get a lot. And maybe he was trying to get a certain amount to try and go for it. But I'm not going to disagree with you, Joe. I didn't like that call in that moment. But I thought overall it was a good game plan by the Bills offense. I thought it was good play calling by Joe Brady. I'm not going to nitpick on one call, but I didn't like it either.
Yeah, I gotcha. But I don't like that play, period. But
It's been pretty effective. It's been pretty effective for him this year. They lead the NFL in yards after catch, mainly because of that play.
Okay. Well, I think a lot has to do with Shakir over the middle and the yards he gets.
He gets way more yards after catch on those kinds of plays. But either way, Joe, you're not wrong. I agree with you on the play call there. I didn't like it at all. I appreciate that. But they did score on it a couple weeks ago. Walter in Toronto. Hi, Walter.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. I just want to touch upon something you guys were talking about earlier, that Andy Reid, you know, he was trying to challenge that, and it shouldn't have been challenged. And then, you know, it turned out to be a delay of game. And because I was watching, I was there, and the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs the whole time was talking to Mahomes. So, in effect, it was a timeout for Kansas City. And what's your opinion about if that was a younger coach, a newer coach, and not Andy Reid with his pedigree, do you think a coach would have been able to do that? I mean, it felt like forever that the game was.
Yeah, started. I don't know. It's a good question. I agree with you. Like, sometimes these guys get benefit of the doubt on who they are, what they are, or, you know, what's happening. But it just that took way too long, and he basically. I know the clock was already stopped, but he essentially got a free timeout out of it anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, over the years, I've criticized McDermott, but and we were all wondering what's the deal with all these timeouts. But obviously, when you're at the game, you don't have the insight of getting, you know, people like yourself explaining that the guy was offside, and so we're all like, why is he calling a timeout? But
yeah, I mean, I mean, if people think he's just thin air, like, hey, you know what, let me, what's the way is the wind blowing? Let me call timeout. It doesn't work like that. People can be upset about the fact that, you know, these timeouts are being used when they are, but at least understand why. Because if your argument is, right, and I know you're not saying this, Walter, but if your argument is, oh my God, I can't believe they used it on that situation when he was offsides, well, the alternative is you're telling me you'd rather have the free first down, and that's just not negotiable to me.
No, knowing the information, yeah, absolutely. Call the timeout, because why give them a first down?
Like, that's right.
They were stalling, right?
To be upset, you should be upset at Jordan Hancock lining up sides. He knows not to do that, and he did.
Yeah, good point.
Good point. Yeah.
But let's see how we work through these injuries. You know, I mean, every team has them, and And I really, really like to see the Bills. I'm licking my wounds over the Blue Jays losing.
I know, buddy. I mean, that was some of the best baseball I've ever seen in my life, though, man. Unbelievable. What a series. Let's go to Kevin in Florida. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Sal. Happy Victory Monday to you.
Okay, buddy. You too.
Hey, so a couple things here. So on the intentional grounding, so I agree. I don't understand how they weren't charged a timeout for that, because when the challenge flag comes out, we've got to charge a timeout or we're going under review, right, even if it's not a reviewable play. So I'm real confused about that. It wasn't able to be reviewed, right, because the only aspects of intentional grounding that can be reviewed, and you can check me on this, but I'm pretty sure, it's where the pass is landed, whether the quarterback was in the pocket or the spot that the pass was released from, so we could establish the spot of the foul, right? So The rule specifically states it's physical contact from a defensive player, right? That is the rule for intentional grounding, and his arm was never hit. It being tipped, like you said earlier, is not able to be challenged, right? That doesn't matter. They have to use a judgment on if that's not tipped, would it have reached the receiver? And on that play, I believe Worthy was on the outside. I think he was running a go ball. So that ball was never getting there regardless, right?
Yeah. I mean, the overall point is, like, obviously that whether or not it was able to be reviewed or not be able to be reviewed, or they made a good call or a bad call, I think the issue a lot of people have is, but he still threw the flag and he's not supposed to. And when you do that, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to be charged a penalty, and he didn't get the penalty.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't understand it. That doesn't make any sense to me. So
yeah.
Just a couple other things here. So real quick. So the screens, to your point with the last caller, I get it. We get some yards. It's questionable sometimes with running the screens. Because I think in that one he brought up, I think we had on second down, they threw a pass over the middle of the field, and then third down we run the screen. I would have rather that been reversed, right?
Yep.
And then on that fourth and two, throwing that deep ball, why not run Josh, right?
Like, yeah.
I get we don't want to run him all the time, but on something like that, keep the ball in your best playmaker's hands outside of James Cook.
I thought it was going to be a Josh run on the first fourth down the Bills went for. Remember during second drive, midfield, they're fourth down. I don't know if that's one you're talking about, but I didn't like that. I thought, they should have. I thought so too. And what I didn't like about that was they kind of hurried up because the Chiefs were in a certain personnel they liked, which is fine, but I don't think they got to their best play by doing that.
No, I totally agree. I really thought it was a Josh run there,
yep.
and that I was expecting we were going to get a first down from that. One question for you. Well, I have one point and then a question. So I think, in my opinion, Cole Bishop without Taylor Rapp is playing so good.
Yeah.
So good without Taylor Rapp, with having Poyer back there. And say what you want about Poyer, and people can say, I love Jordan Poyer. Yes, he's lost a step because he's 34 or whatever it is. I get it. But I think having Jordan Poyer back there with Cole has just brought a different aspect of Cole, right? And I think I think it's tremendous for him. My biggest hold up here is the quote unquote tush push that we run compared to what the Eagles run. Yes, the Eagles are always offsides on that play. I get it. We're putting that aside, right? Jalen Hurts is what, 6'1", and Josh is 6'5". It is so hard for us to get a first down compared to them. Why is that? I can't figure it out.
Well, it wasn't always. It just showed up last year in the championship game. I mean, otherwise, it was their best play all year, except, I guess, once against L.A., but that was 2 yards ago. But, I mean, it really was an automatic first down up until the championship game last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
but why is it Josh is always so high? Why are we not going low?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, Kevin. You know what I mean? I get it. I get the question and why. I gotta go, though. Good phone call. I want to tell everybody something about the Cole Bishop, Jordan Poyer playing relationship together when we come back. I'll do that in my extra point from the sidelines and something that happened yesterday right after the game that I think you'll be interested in. 803-0550, the number to call. Hour one is down.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable.
Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We're 2 on the way on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Big challenge, obviously. He's been doing it for a really long time. Super smart. I'm sure if you guys watch, you see the stuff he does, being able to sit down in zones and everything. And there's still things that he got that we can improve on. So just being able to try to limit him and that offense as much as we can.
Cole Bishop's one of these guys that, like, he's just very sticks to the plan and the script of what you're supposed to say to the media, right? He doesn't really give you much. It's great, though. Love to see him ascending and playing the way he is. And got with him yesterday at the post-game interview as well on the radio and on the Buffalo Bills radio network. And we're going to start right now this hour with my extra point from the sidelines. It's a deeper look at something that happened in the game. And it is brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. And it's that. See, so here's how it works. At the end of the game, when the Bills win, I have an opportunity to, you know, interview a player on the field before they head to the locker room. And kind of work it out with Bill's PR, who's going over to CBS, who's doing this or that. And I said, I want Cole Bishop. Like, oh yeah, absolutely, let's do that. So I'm watching Cole, and I'm standing right at the goal line at the end of the game, knowing this is the last play. I mean, if it's a Hail Mary and it's complete, you know, then maybe it's not the last play. But I'm standing right there, I'm watching, I'm knowing I'm going to go get Cole Bishop, hopefully after this ball falls harmlessly to the earth. That happened. So I run out of the field to grab Cole and like, hey, post-game radio interview, you ready? As I'm walking out there to get to Cole Bishop, I see Jordan Poyer go right over to him, and they just shared this really cool, long embrace. And I just think it's a really good testament to what Jordan Poyer has meant to Cole Bishop. And this is a really big key part of it. How Jordan Poyer is accepting that role. Jordan Poyer is accepting that role to be the mentor. The Bills got laughed at for signing Jordan Poyer to the practice squad at the beginning of the season. Laughed at. I'm not, and I understand why. I understand why. Oh my God, can we stop bringing all these guys back? Micah, Jordan Poyer, Jordan Phillips, Jordan Poyer, Gabe Davis. Stop it. What's he going to do? If he wants to be a coach, let him be a coach. Right? All the things you heard. The Bills got laughed at, completely panned, okay? Jordan Poyer is not the same player he used to be. No doubt. But what Jordan Poyer is someone who understands why it's important to have people like him doing this on a professional football team. And one of the first things he said when he signed in Buffalo was that he had a conversation with Micah when Mike about this and said, Micah said, you're going to eat some humble pie. You're not going to be the guy you were. And that's going to be tough to deal with. You're going to be on scout team. Practice squad. That's tough. And Jordan said, I don't care. I want to help. I want to be here and help. And I just think it speaks volumes about a guy like that to do that. And you know what? There's going to be a time this year where Jordan Poyer is going to get beat athletically on a play. And we're going to go, ooh. In fact, it happened yesterday. There was a play early in the game. Early in the game, maybe the Chiefs' second drive. There's a cross over the middle, and it's Jordan Poyer who's matched up on someone. I'm like, that's Rashee Rice, I think it was. I'm like, that good, right? You don't want to see that. I get it. I'm not telling you Jordan Poyer needs to play 100% of the snaps. He doesn't. But there is a direct correlation of the ascension of Cole Bishop and the development of Cole Bishop with having Jordan Poyer next to him, and not just in the games. It's also on the practice field, in the meeting rooms. The things that people laughed at the Bills for doing, who said, we need this guy to help this other guy because he's going to see things and be next to him. It's not a coach. The coach and a player are totally different. A veteran player and how he can help another player when they're watching film and going over a game plan is totally different than a coach actually teaching technique and taking the time to do that. Coaches are coaches. Players are players. Jordan's not a coach. He's a player. What I saw yesterday at the end of that game, when I saw Jordan Poyer embrace Cole Bishop the way that they embraced each other at the end of that game, that spoke volumes to me about what he has meant and what they mean to each other and how they've accepted that relationship. And I think it's cool. 803-0550 is the number to call. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday on WGR, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. Let's go to Neil in North Carolina. Hi, Neil, you're on WGR.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Sal.
You got it.
Totally agree with you on Poyer, and you're absolutely seeing it in the way he's in the way what's his name is playing.
Yeah, Bishop.
I mean,
yeah.
Bishop, awesome. I was watching Kyle Brandt this morning, and he said the biggest change he sees in their defense is Bosa, and he showed the replays from the game yesterday, and he looked like he was possessed. He actually said he looked like he was in his third year with the Chargers. He looked phenomenal yesterday. Yeah. It was really nice to see that. Nice to see the way they play defense in the secondary covering. Hairston played great as well. It was a great win to see. I am actually going to Miami for the first time. I've never been to a Bills game in Miami this Sunday. Really, really looking forward to it and hoping they do a number and a half on the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll get to say hi to you.
All right. I love it, Neil. Thank you. I appreciate that. I hope we can as well. On your point and what you said, I want to give you something on Joey Bosa, too. After the game, in the locker room, we go and meet Joey Bosa at his locker. Hey, you know, ask him questions about the game. In a two-minute span, I could play the audio for you. I won't, but I'll just tell you. In a two-minute span, Joey Bosa said the following things. Just couldn't be happier right now. Yeah, just happy. Feel reinvigorated here. So happy to be here. I'm just super happy. And just super happy. I think Joey Bosa's happy. The Bills have had quite a few injuries this year, and they've taken a lot of shots for their training staff or conditioning or whatever because of certain injuries. I think we also have to recognize the training staff and Joey Bosa have done a great job to keep him healthy, and they need to keep doing that because they are now really dipping even more into their depth on the defensive front without Ed Oliver, without Michael Hoyt, too. You know, interior and exterior with Hoyt pass rushers, they got to keep Joey Bosa healthy. So far, so good. Knock on wood, that continues. Let's go to James in Florida. Hi, James.
Hey, Sal, how are you? Good morning.
Yep, good morning.
I just wanted to play off the Poe and Bishop. It seems like he's the Karate Kid and Poe's the the Mr. Miyagi to the whole situation, but I wanted to remind people that fullbacks are people too, and I feel like Reggie just had a great game giving holes to Cook, and thanks for taking my call.
I gave him an arrow up, buddy. I gave him an arrow up. I appreciate that because he deserved one. You're right about that. Reggie Gilliam was a game changer yesterday. Reggie Gilliam coming right at you through a hole on ISO. What's ISO mean? You're isolated, one-on-one. Reggie Gilliam going through a hole on ISO, bam. Now, it's not necessarily ISO. Back in the day, I-formation ISO is basically fullback runs right at you. We ISO the linebacker. You hit him, and then the running back takes off the block, right? Nowadays, it's a little different. You have all these different concepts, but that's essentially the same thing. You're taking the fullback, you're running him into the hole, and you're hitting somebody. And Reggie Gilliam's doing that. He was great yesterday. I agree. I gave him an arrow up. 803-0550. Arrow up, arrow down, WGR550.com. Tom in North Tonawanda. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Sal. So that caller there just took half of what I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
You know how much I love Reggie, and you know that. And he was outstanding. So I'll go and talk about another guy that stepped in yesterday, and he's done this before and filled in. And that was Cam Lewis. You know, he comes in the reserve at nickel corner, and he kind of plays. Of course, we know he plays safety as well. And I thought he had an excellent game. He always seems whenever he does have to come in and fill in for Taron Johnson, he does his role, and he's great. And you know, I know he's a free agent at the end of the day. I'm worried the Bills are somebody's going to see that and snag him. But I thought, you know, it was kind of a seamless transition out there, and he really didn't.
You said Cam will be a free agent. Is that what you said?
I think.
But here's the thing: he's a free agent every year, and he comes back to the Bills, right?
I know.
I mean, like Cam Lewis is never going to break the bank in free agency. He is what he is. He's a more of a, like a over the minimum, but like a guy who's like, he's going to make a more of a minimum type of salary. And if a team wants him to be their starting nickel and pay him a good hefty salary, then good for him. That's great. I mean, I think he's been in Buffalo 8 years. He went to UB, obviously. I wouldn't worry too much about that. I agree with your larger point though. And Tom, you know, I've been on the Cam Lewis bandwagon and train since he arrived in Buffalo after year one on the practice squad.
Yeah, you know, and it's just good to see. It was perfect. You didn't, you know, it was basically kind of those, oh, you didn't hear his name for doing anything bad, and that's what you want from the depth guys like that come in, and he had good coverage, made some nice plays out there, and it was good to see. You know, they have that type of depth where somebody as available as Taron Johnson goes down, and it was kind of a seamless transition. It was great to see.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Thanks a lot. By the way, I am out of your loser pool.
Yeah, well, so is everybody else but four people. So
I took the Vikings, and I could not believe it. I'm like, come on. And yeah, the Vikings won. There's a loser pool, so everybody knows. Paul Hamilton as well. Are you out 2-0? You're raising your hand. You out of the loser pool? Did you go into the loser pool?
I'm not. Oh. I'm not in those, but I was in. I'm in a different loser pool that I also lost on Minnesota.
Oh yeah, so there you go.
So
Tom.
I hear
Carolina.
You.
How does Carolina win in Green Bay?
I know. Yeah, you're right. I mean, hey, it's the NFL, Tom. That's why. You know that, right, buddy?
I know. All right. Tom.
Yeah,
have
good to
good
see
luck.
You. Good to see you yesterday. I appreciate that. All right, Dave in Buffalo. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Sal, how's it going? I just had a quick point. I'll take the win. It was a great game yesterday. But Mahomes played arguably the worst game of his career and still, at the end of the game, had a chance to go down the field and tie it. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I mean, so, well, you tell me your thoughts on that. Why do you think that is? What's the point you're making?
The Bills need to go out. I think offensively they still struggle. Like, the passing game did well yesterday, which scares me to think that they don't want to go and trade for a wide receiver.
I mean, they threw for 260 yards. They ran for 140. I don't think their offense struggled. They had 400 yards of offense.
I don't think they struggled, but I think because they did well, it's going to push the Bills away from trying to trade for a wide receiver, and that scares me.
Okay, well, I don't know. I mean, that's just pure speculation, and I have no idea. And I mean, yes, you're right. They still had a chance to win. It's football. It's a one-score game. I mean, it's two really good teams, right? So, yes, he played the worst game of his career, and they still had a chance because the Bills made a couple mistakes. If the field goal goes in, they don't even have that chance. And we can debate if the Bills should have punted or kicked a field goal. That's a fine debate. I have no problem with that. But if the field goal goes in, it's a 10-point game, and you're not even thinking about that, and that's not even a phone call. Let's go to Patrick in Las Vegas. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Sal. Two things. A, the pass rush was dynamite last night,
yep.
Not just because of how often it got to Mahomes, but we kept our lanes. We did not over-pursue on Mahomes and allow him to get out and run for those 10, 15, 20-yard gains that he seems to do every time against Buffalo. And the second thing I want to say, as far as the trade deadline, we're not going to face teams that have a running back room as bad as Kansas City's did yesterday. And I would still say you've got to go defensive tackle, defensive lineman, something on the defensive side, because the win was nice against Kansas City. Don't get me wrong, and Mahomes can beat you by himself. But we were playing a team that was kind of they were being dealt to from the bottom of the deck in the running back room, and we're not always going to see that. I just want to make sure that we don't get lulled into a sense of security that our defense is phenomenal because we did this to Mahomes in Kansas City. We play Kansas City again. If they have Pacheco back in there, it's probably going to be a different game. And we have
Maybe. I mean, he hasn't done much this year. I don't think they're a strong running team. I think they actually might have helped them to go to a power run game yesterday with Kareem Hunt. But look, I think the larger point, though, Patrick, is, you know, I've never seen the Bills do that. Say, well, we're fine now, so everything's good. Every game's different. Every week's different. They prepare for every opponent different. You know what I mean?
Yep. No, I agree. We get caught in being prisoners of the moment sometimes,
yes.
And we take what happens recently as a sign
100%.
Of what's going to happen in the future. And
no, that's right.
Just say, watch out. That's
that's it. Hey, I get it, and I think you know, it's ever evolving, right? But no, you're right. The teams are different, and you're right, and they're going to be different when they play again, if they play again. But yesterday, the win by the Bills, the loss by the Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are on the outside looking in, folks, in the AFC. They're in the 8th seed out of 7. I still think they'll make the playoffs. They could still win their division. I mean, in 2 weeks, they play the Denver Broncos, and that's massive for them. They still have the Chargers on the schedule. We'll take a look around the league ourselves in just a little while. Robbie. Robbie, another one from North Carolina. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, Sal, I've been watching you and listening to you for longer than you've been on GR, man. Love where you've gone in your career.
Well, I love being here, and I love that you said that. Thank you.
So, hey, real quick, thoughts and prayers out to my boy Jake. He needs it. But anyway, feel like we let off the gas there, man. And I love what we saw yesterday. You know, that looked so good. But I feel like there was a moment we could have finished it. We let off the gas, whether it was Brady getting way too conservative or maybe some demons coming out, you know, with the stupid commenters, you know, on stupid announcers on TV saying 13 seconds and stuff.
Oh, jeez. Were they talking about it? Were they talking about it?
They said it on air. They said it on air.
Well, I guess they got to do that, though, you know?
They don't have a choice, you know? Yeah. But anyway, with all that said, though, I mean, it's not like we're not thinking it in the back of our heads. We can't help it. I'll shut up and I'll hang up and listen, but what do you think, man?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think there's an argument to be made. I think you're caught in between how do you close this game out? You got to do it the best way, the right way. And sometimes you could be a little more aggressive and then it doesn't work out. You're leaving more time on the clock. You're a little more conservative. It doesn't work out. It's less time, but you didn't get that first down. I think a big debate is what happened at the end with field goal versus punt. And that could go either way. I didn't mind kicking the field goal. Matt Prater's been excellent this year. It's in his range, and it was in his range. He hit the upright. If it goes in, it's a 10-point game at the end, and nobody's even thinking about it. But I would say this. This game probably was a little closer at the end than the stats showed, but that's just football, and you know that those things happen, right? I mean, a play here, a play there can just keep you in the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Do we double down now with Hoyt out, or what do you think?
I don't know, man. I think it's going to be tough to go out and get a receiver, a defensive lineman. I think whatever what they need to do, though, is find somebody to help in the interior pass rush. And I don't know if that's in-house, because Javon Solomon has actually played that role. And you can tell me all you want, well, Javon Solomon's not good enough, but I don't know what else is out there and available that you're going to go out there, give up an asset, and be able to pay somebody's contract. The salary cap matters here, folks. They do not have room enough to go out and just make swings and make these trades. They're going to have to get creative in some way, and I don't know what that way is, but Tuesday at 4 p.m. is the deadline. Good phone call. Alex is up next. Alex in Rockland. What's up, Alex?
Good morning, guys. Happy Bill Victory Monday. Big win last night. I really want the fans to enjoy it. You know, these wins are not easy to come by. On paper, I thought we were going to lose. No Ed Oliver. No Shaq Thompson, and I really felt that we were going to get carved up with their speed. But I have to give Bean credit. Bean's been taking a punch, as we know, on this radio station as well as fans across the world, regarding Kincaid, regarding Hairston, regarding all these question marks. And yesterday, I think that was Bean's best game, looking at the depth that we have on defense, and it sucks to lose Hoyt, but that was Bean getting us Hoyt. It sucks to lose Oliver, but
I do feel that we are at a critical point, that the Chiefs were the best opponent for us. We are blessed that the Chiefs played us, and we played the way that we did the day, 2 days before the trade deadline. Now I want to go all in, give up as many firsts as we need, give up a second. Doesn't matter. It's all about now, because we've just extended almost half our guys on defense, and we're capped. We're strapped. We don't have a lot of choices. So I feel like we have to give up those draft picks. I am totally okay with that. Our trust in Bean, my trust in Bean, has skyrocketed. Look at Cole Bishop yesterday. He was a freakish athlete. Harrison keeping up with Worthy. Hoyt, Bosa, all those players. Those are Bean's guys that he put on his roster. So we have to take a step back and respect and tip our hat to Brandon Bean, because this team, for a second, I wish we had Oliver yesterday, because then it would have been complete to see what this team could have looked like the way Bean had constructed this roster to be.
So, yeah.
I'm really curious on what we're going to do going forward.
Yeah, it's interesting, Alex. It's interesting because I've had a couple phone calls, and I agree more with you, what you're saying, which is I think this would allow them and help them to lean more into let's go get somebody, not take the approach of, hey, we're just fine here. Look what we did with the roster we have. And we've had those phone calls and we've had people say that today. And I think it's more like you say, which is, okay, this is a good, like there, it's right there again. Everything you want is still right in front of you. Now, how do you do it? Maybe you go out there and make a deal, but man, it is just going to be tough. Just telling you folks, it's going to be tough. I don't know what they can do. Thanks, Alex. Good call. Steven in Florida. Hi, Steven.
Hey, happy Victory Monday, Sal.
You too.
Good to talk to you.
Okay.
So here's my take on this game. First of all, a little bit bittersweet because just like last week, this is a very costly win. Last week it was Oliver, this week Hoyt. I'm very sad to see that happened. But here's the thing. My perspective on this game was that this was the most balanced Bills performance I've seen since last season, because on both sides of the ball, you know, Joe Marino on the Bill Squad show with Jeremy and Jerry, he said what the Bills are going to have to do is establish play action. That's exactly what they did on offense. They ran the ball well. Josh was in MVP form. Kincaid, you know, all the guys on offense, the line, they were great. And then on defense, they did what they knew they had to do, which was get Mahomes out of his game, rattle his cage, put pressure on him. And I had told friends of mine, I predicted that Maxwell Harrison was going to pick off Mahomes in this game, and they were going to sack him at least 2 to 3 times. So this is a great win for the Bills, and nobody can say anymore, well, the Bills haven't beaten a good team. They just did it yesterday. And I think they're going to find a way, even with what's happened with the defense now, with the injuries, where they're going to be able to come up with enough to continue on in the win streak and go on to the playoffs and ultimately to the Super Bowl. So go Bills.
Okay, thanks a lot, Steven. We'll take a timeout here when we come back. Going to look around the NFL. What happened in week number 9? We'll take more of your phone calls. We do have a little bit of time left to do that at 803-0550 if you'd like. We can always get connected with you on social media, at Sal Sports as well. And of course, getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, a look around the league. Next on the way on WGR. Oh, man. Having some fun on social today, because I'll just tell you and then you can go back and check it out. But so I tweeted I told you earlier, there's a great video of the hit on Patrick Mahomes by AJ Epinesa. Dan Fates from Wham in Rochester on the sidelines with the camera got a great look of it. It's a really great video. And I quote tweeted it. And what I said was, here's a look at the hit. Every football fan was looking for a yellow flag, not because it was a penalty, but just because. And oh my gosh. Chiefs fans have found this. Chiefs fans have found this tweet and they think, oh, just because Josh Allen gets more calls than Patrick Mahomes. That's the responses from Chiefs fans. It's hilarious. There you go, Bills fans. Check it out. Go see my tweet at Sal Sports. The tweet of the quote tweet of Dan Fates' video. And the responses from Chiefs fans. Actually, I wasn't even referring it to that way. It's more because just generally in quarterbacks, but yes, we know with Mahomes, but just generally quarterbacks, they get calls like that, right? But yeah, this quarterback, and I do think even Josh, like Josh does get calls like that. I didn't even really mean it like that, although kind of, sort of. I really meant it just more in general as quarterbacks, but Chiefs fans have found this tweet and they're mad. They're big mad. And you can go debate it if you want with them. It's funny. Greg is in Cleveland. Hi, Greg. What's going on? You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Doing great. Always enjoy the show, and it's always nice on a Victory Monday.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, I was thinking, you know, sometimes like that New England game, at the end of the game, you go, well, you know, New England won, and that's, I guess, the bottom line. But now the Bills, you know, the turnovers, lost the turnover battle, and where the turnovers happened, right? You know, could have been a field goal here, gave up a touchdown there. This was a game that no matter, even if, and God forbid, Kansas City would have had that Hail Mary, came away and said, Buffalo, and they said it didn't dominate them, but boy, they handled them top, bottom, left, and right. And that was really, really good to see. So I'm kind of hoping they build on that. Obviously, the Michael Hoyt thing is really tough, but, you know, hopefully they've got that energy back, and looking forward to seeing the rest of this season, you know, play out.
Yeah, you got it. All around big victory for the Buffalo Bills yesterday, for sure. And really good victory, solid victory, both sides of the ball. You know, special teams a little lacking yesterday. I thought that they didn't have their best day. They gave a big kick return. They missed a field goal. You need a little bit more from there. Wisnowski was good with two punts out of three inside the 20. That's good, right? It wasn't like they were bad. I'm just saying, like, if you want to pick something apart, what do you got? You got the... I generally find this, though. It's this is a pet peeve of mine. This is happening today again, okay, which is I know that when the Bills win, not everything is great. Like, there's still things that you could say, you can improve here, improve there. There's this thing that they did wrong. There's that thing. That's what happens. Just like when they lose, not everything is terrible. There's this they did well. And that's the way it goes all the time, okay? But man, some of you, when I say this, some, not a lot, I don't know, what's the percentage? Some of you, it just seems like you intentionally have to find the things that you're mad about. I don't know. That's just not a way for me to live. I can't do it. How do you live like that on a daily basis? The Bills just beat the Chiefs. They gave Patrick Mahomes his worst day statistically ever. Josh Allen had one of his best days statistically ever, franchise record at least, completion percentage. They ran for 140, threw for 260, had 400 yards of offense. They beat the Chiefs in their house, 28-21. They're in control the whole game. And the immediate reaction from some of this fan base is, but let me tell you why I hated the timeouts. The immediate reaction from some of the fan base is, I can't believe they kicked that field goal at the end. Dude, like, that is just a weird way for, I just think it's a weird way to live. I just do. I'm sorry. It's not saying that everything's perfect. Yes, those are debatable things, and I could tell you, this didn't go right, and that was a bad call, and maybe Sean McDermott used a bad timeout here. It's all good. It's all fair. But it's sports. Enjoy when your team wins, especially a big victory. I just think it's if you try to do that, just try it. If you're one of these people I'm talking about, just try it the other way for a minute. Maybe it'll really just help you brighten your week a little bit. I don't know, man. It's weird. It's wild. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. I just quote tweeted the honey badger, not the real one. Who's the honey badger? Now I can't think of his name.
Matthew, right?
Tyron Matthew. Thank you. Yeah. This person online. Thank you. Thank you, Owen. This person online goes by Honey Badger Cards. And he said, just because Josh Allen gets more roughing calls than Mahomes, is that just because? It's so funny. Like, no, actually, I actually meant because they overprotect QBs, but glad to see Chiefs fans found the tweet. It's funny. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's get to what happened week number 9 in the National Football League. It started on Thursday night. The Ravens beat the Dolphins 28-6. Ravens now 3-5. Dolphins cleaning house. They fire Chris Greer, their GM, after the game. And then today, this morning, they trade edge rusher Jalen Phillips to the Philadelphia Eagles who is going to be playing for the Dolphins when the Bills play them on Sunday. Maybe Owen Parker and Dan Dale. I have no idea because I don't know who's going to be left on that roster by the time that they're done. I mean, hey, they have to do it, though. They really do. And honestly, like, they're in no man's land right now, the Dolphins. They got to figure out their QB. But either way, Ravens 3-5, Dolphins 2-7. The Cincinnati Bengals defense is so, so bad. It is so, so bad. They gave up 576 yards of offense to the Chicago Bears and a running back that no one heard of before this week until he had to start on fantasy and everyone was picking him up and it worked out for you. Menange. Is that how you say his last name? Menange, right? 47 points for the Bears, 42 for the Bengals. The Bengals come to Buffalo the first weekend of December. I mean, you're like, can you put a 50 burger on them? You're thinking. That is, their defense is so bad, and yet their offense is so good. It really is. Joe Flacco threw for four more touchdowns and 470 yards. Can you imagine that? This dude is like, he's throwing the ball all over the place. All these touchdowns. They have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins putting up numbers after numbers, and they just cannot, they can't stop anybody. Bengals fall to 3-6. Bears go to 5-3 in a very competitive NFC North, and that's a big reason because of the reason why, because the Vikings with a huge upset over the Lions, 27-24, and the Vikings improved to 4-4. They're suddenly back in this thing. Lions now 5-3. How about J.J. McCarthy, 143 yards and two touchdowns? Solid performance, not great. Okay, did enough. Jared Goff, 284 and two touchdowns for the Detroit Lions, who fall to 5-3. Also in the NFC North, the Packers lose to the Panthers. Hey, maybe that win by the Bills over the Panthers was pretty darn good. I would say it this way. It's not Andy Dalton. It's Bryce Young. But I thought Andy Dalton might have given him a better chance to win. Bryce Young looked pretty good yesterday. 11 of 20, 102. Didn't ask him to do much. But he did throw a pick. It was very windy. Really, the story for the Panthers in this game, well, actually, it was Rico Dowdle. 130 yards rushing again. The Bills held Rico Dowdle to pretty much nothing. 25 carries, 130 yards, and two touchdowns. Other teams get run on too. Carolina now 5-4 in the NFC South. Packers come back to the pack a little bit, 5-2-1. That tie is helping them at this point. I guess you could say it's hurting them. They could be with six wins, but, you know, they're a half game up. The Denver Broncos, they have a good defense. So does Houston. The Texans are going to be a tough, tough defense for the Bills to go against when they play on a Thursday night in a few weeks. And the Broncos, we know they have a tough defense, and we know they get after the quarterback. And they were able to squeak out a low-scoring victory in Houston, 18-15, the final score in this one. Defensive game all around here. Oh, I'm looking at this. Can you guys help me out? Owen, did C.J. Stroud get hurt or something?
Yeah.
What happened? I didn't even know this. I'm looking at the stats. Davis Mills, 30 attempts.
Yeah, Stroud went down to slide after going for a scramble and got popped pretty good from the side and ended up getting knocked out. Had a little bit of the fencing thing that we saw with Tua. Like bad. Looked like
I did
bad
not know
concussion.
This until just now.
Yeah, yeah. It was ugly. We talked a little bit about it this morning with Jeremy and Joe. And they were talking about, like, he goes down and got hit from the side. It's an ugly-looking play, and he got
okay.
His head hits back on the turf
so
really hard.
The Bills play on November 20th. We're still 19 days away. I mean, you're probably thinking at this point, like, that's something that he'll go through concussion protocol
yeah,
by then play.
He
but
should be back,
yeah.
But it was a gnarly enough
I did not know this
bang in the head
just
that
now.
It could, you know, feasibly keep him out.
Okay,
it's
well.
Doubtful, but.
Well. Davis Mills goes 17 of 30 for 137 after C.J. Stroud was knocked out of the game, 6 of 10, 79. Bo Nix, 18 of 37, 173 and two touchdowns, but they get the field goals and they win 18 to 15. Was this all field goals? Oh, no, there was a touchdown Cortland Sutton scored and R.J. Harvey scored. Okay, so, but the Texans had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 field goals. That's how they scored. Okay, Texans now 3-5. Broncos 7-2 atop the AFC West. Man, the freaking Falcons. 4 minutes left. They score a touchdown. Drake London on a fourth down. They're going to tie it up. They miss the extra point against the Patriots. They get the ball back. They get to midfield. Then they get stalled. Have a 4th-and-20. Patriots win 24-23 to stay atop the AFC East. Falcons 3-5. How did the Bills lose to the Falcons? Man, it's just one of those frustrating losses that seems to happen once a year. Giants, they lose after a nice opening drive. They go down the field and score. Theo Johnson from Jackson Dart. But after that, it was pretty much all Niners, 34-24 in this one. Mac Jones gets the start again. Two touchdown passes on 235 yards passing. Jackson Dart throws a couple of touchdowns, 191 yards passing. You have to wonder about the Giants and their coaching staff and their GM and Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and their future in New York. They're as competitive as they can be right now, given the circumstances, but it's not going well. 2-7. Niners 6-3. Another big upset. This one, I said it pregame. I said to Jeremy and Joe pregame yesterday, I said, this is a Mike Tomlin game. It's the kind of game where Tomlin just wins, right? He just finds, his teams find a way to win these games. It's weird. The Tomlin pixie dust gets sprayed in Pittsburgh over the Colts, 27-20 in this one. Colts turned the ball over, what, six times, I think it was? Six turnovers for the Colts, that's right. 27-20. Short fields for the Steelers, they took advantage. They got after not only Daniel Jones, but Jonathan Taylor, only 45 yards rushing. Steelers now 5-3. Colts 7-2. Still atop the AFC, but locked in right now and tied with both Denver and New England for the top seed. Chargers lose Joe Alt. We'll see what that means going forward. They had a tougher-than-expected game in Tennessee against the Titans. 27-20 the final score in this one. Cam Ward, 145 yards passing. Didn't throw a touchdown, but didn't turn the ball over. Justin Herbert did, but he also threw two touchdowns. 250 yards passing, and Rondé Gadsden again led the Chargers in receiving, 5 for 68. Chargers 6-3. One game behind the Broncos, one game ahead of the Chiefs. Titans 1-8. Rams, pretty easy work, I guess you'd say, over the New Orleans Saints. 438 yards of offense at 224 against a rookie quarterback in Tyler Shuck. Kyren Williams, 114 yards rushing. Matthew Stafford, 281 and 4 TDs passing. Shook did throw a touchdown pass, also an interception. Rams 6-2 atop the NFC West along with Seattle. Saints 1-8. Right now have the number one pick in the draft. Jacksonville Jaguars beat the LA Raiders 30-29. How about the Raiders in overtime going for two? Pass fails, they lose. Good for them. They're trying to win the game. I don't blame them there. They had two wins on the season. Jags, though, gives them their fifth win of the year. And it was Trevor Lawrence throwing over 220 yards, no touchdowns, one pick. Geno Smith, 284 and four touchdown passes. Seattle, late last night, was all over the Washington Commanders, 38-14. They go to 6-2 to stick with the Rams in the West. And terrible news for Jaden Daniels. Dislocates his elbow. Terrible-looking injury. His non-throwing, which is the only good news, I guess, about the injury. It wasn't his throwing arm, but it was a terrible-looking injury. And just a lost season, it seems like, for the Commanders after such a promising start to Daniels' career last year. Tonight, Monday Night Football, the Arizona Cardinals visit the Dallas Cowboys. We'll come back. We'll do Sit Up, Stand Down, Hey Buddy, and wrap up the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show in a Buffalo Football Victory Monday. All right. Got to give a nod of the cap, shout out on a sit up here to what Cam Little did yesterday. Jacksonville Jaguars kicker broke the NFL field goal record with a 68-yard field goal. 68. Cam Little. Sit up on what Cam Little did yesterday. And really cool, right? I mean, that's a cool moment. That is amazing. I have not watched it. I have to go back and watch it. I haven't even seen the highlight yet. Cam Little, huge strong leg. We have seen so many of these long field goals this year. Let's sit up on Cam Little. Let's stand down on anointing the Green Bay Packers as the, like this, I don't know. It's been annoying to me all year about how the Packers are seen as just some incredible juggernaut that has this incredible roster. And yes, they got Micah Parsons. Oh my God, can anybody stop him? And Jordan Love's great. Yes, they're a good team. They're a good team. They just lost to the Carolina Panthers at home 16-13. They tied the Dallas Cowboys 40-40. They lost at home to the Cleveland Browns. Yes, they've also won some games. The Steelers, the Cards, the Bengals. Not a lot of great big wins. The Steelers were a nice win. I just want to stand down a little bit on, oh my God, Packers. Like every time I turn around, it's everybody's talking about the Packers and how great they are, it seems like, on these national shows. Now, yesterday, the Panthers go to Green Bay and win. And maybe they'll win next week. Maybe the Packers will beat the Eagles. They can do it. They have a good enough team to do that. Just want to stand down on anointing them. Let's get to Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy. Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
All right. I'm going to make my buddy, anybody who is at KeyBank Center on Saturday night for the Sabres to beat the Washington Capitals. It was a great, great night in the arena. That's how the arena's supposed to sound. All of you who made it happen. And listen, it was Hockey Fights Cancer Night, which is always a big, big night, a great night, terrifically done by Roswell Park, the Sabres, KeyBank Center, everybody. I love it. Love being there for that night to honor and pay tribute to and help out in the fight against cancer and being one of the men at WGR with Roswell Park here. Great, great job. That was one part. Number two, Ovechkin's in town. He's going for 900. I don't even know how many people knew he was going for 900. It was an intense, intense overtime. Intense shootout. And then number three, it's the Chiefs weekend, right? People are here. They're coming to town. Bills are playing the Chiefs. I loved it. That's how the arena's supposed to sound. I hope it sounds like that again tomorrow night. Sabres take on the Utah Mammoth tomorrow night. That was great. So all of you who were part of that, my wife said to me after the game, I've never heard the arena this loud because she's never been a part of playoff hockey. And that was cool. And I want to hear more of that. Have a great rest of your day. One Bills Live up next here on WGR.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport? Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.